This is the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. And in the studio here with me this morning is Tana Weingartner, reporter with WVXU and a major soccer fan. And I have her here joining me because on the phone is Robbie Rogers, professional soccer player for the LA Galaxy, formerly with the Columbus Crew. He's played in the Olympics and with Leeds United in the UK. And it was in 2013 that Robbie Rogers was the first openly gay man to compete in a major North American professional sports league. And he tells the story of his incredible journey in his new memoir, Coming Out to Play. Robbie Rogers, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to ask about your love of soccer, because in your book, Coming Out to Play, you begin back in your childhood, and you early on were a big soccer player. You started playing soccer at a young age. How did that start, and what about the sport did you find so compelling?
Yeah, so it started because my older sisters played soccer, and I just started watching them when I was like 4 or 5, and I would be on the side of the field kicking the ball around, and at the house kicking the ball around, breaking things, and just always just playing. I don't know what it was, but I just enjoyed it, and I was a pretty athletic kid, so I just kind of excelled at it and would play with my brother then. We'd play soccer every day, and yeah, I don't know exactly what, you know, caught my interest, but I just absolutely loved it, and I always had a ball at my feet, and I always was trying to set up like games, like soccer games in our neighborhood.
Well, you're a very athletic family. You mentioned on the sidelines of your sister's soccer game, so your whole family involved.
Yeah. Everyone played soccer.
Just at what point did you sort of realize this is what I want to do? You're very focused throughout, you know, growing up.
Yeah, I think when I was probably around like 14 years old, I was playing with the youth national team then, like under 14s, or maybe I was like 13. And I just realized like, oh my gosh, like there's an opportunity for me to do this for a living. And like, how amazing would that be? And I would start watching a lot of soccer on TV, and I was like, I want to be like these guys. So that's when I really thought that, you know, maybe I could do something with soccer.
You talk a lot about being focused on Europe. It had to be Europe. And talk a little bit about why you were so focused on going overseas.
Yeah, well, first off, I'd watched like the English Premier League, or I'd watch Europe or soccer in Germany or different countries. And so that stuff was on TV more, to be honest. And then also the level over there is the best soccer in the world is played. You know, the best league in the world, you'd say, is probably England. So I wanted to play at a high level, and I grew up watching those guys play, so just they became my idols. So, you know, it's obviously then why I wanted to somehow find my way over there.
You were a young prodigy when it came to soccer, and were always playing with older kids as it went along. Did you did it always feel like you had that natural talent for the game?
I mean, it's kind of weird, but yes, it was. You know, from a very young age, I started playing up, and that's probably what made me have to get better more quickly. Like, so quickly I had to learn how to play against older guys that are bigger and faster than me, and to be able to kind of hold my own in games. So yeah, I don't know why soccer came so naturally to me, because obviously it's not back then, but now it's a huge sport in the U.S. but back then it wasn't, so it just did. And I think maybe I just kind of, you know, found my joy just always having, again, like I said, the ball at my feet and being successful in scoring goals, and just that feeling just, you know, just made me so happy.
Well, in your book, Coming Out to Play, you talk about discovering your homosexuality and trying to hide it, and being in an environment in a sport, in the locker rooms, where the fellow players are talking about girls, and you don't share those same feelings. When did you realize that you might be a little different from your colleagues on your team?
Yeah. I knew I was gay for sure when I was, you know, going to high school, 13, 14, 15 years old. But from a very young age, the words like faggot or gay, or, you know, don't be so gay, or different things like that really affected me. You know, it would make me cringe, would make me feel very uneasy, and I'd go in it, I would like internally just like shut off. So I must have known at a really young age that I was different from my brothers and sisters, or different from my teammates, and that really affected me, actually.
Robbie Rogers, who with Eric Marcus has written Coming Out to Play. Robbie Rogers came out and declared his homosexuality back in February of 2013. And this new book is his path through childhood, high school, college, into the professional league, dealing with this, and his announcement 25 years into his life that after stepping away from a brilliant career, He Chose to Finally Tell the Truth. It's a touching book, available where books are sold right now. You can learn more at WVXU.org. And I know, Tana, that you saw Robbie play quite a bit up with the Columbus crew.
Correct, right. First of all, congratulations on your recent championship with LA. And congratulations on 2008 with the crew.
That was fun. Can
you talk a little bit about the locker room differences? You describe in your book that in Europe, it was just much more hyper-masculine than here. Can you talk a little bit about the differences and how you dealt with that locker room tension?
Yeah. I mean, everything in Europe, everything in soccer in Europe is more heightened. The fans, the money, stadiums, everything. You know, I think it comes with the history and tradition, and just it's just so intense. But, you know, here, again, I've played soccer here most of my career. You know, you hear the really homophobic, ridiculous things as well. And I guess, you know, I guess the differences are just in Europe, it's a little bit more. It's a little bit more. There's a little more banter. There's a little more, you know, attention to the media. There's, I would just say it's hard to explain, but just a little bit more of everything. But when I came out, and I was living in England at the time, it was the same guys that said the most ridiculous things in locker rooms were that were the guys. And my American teammates and European teammates, you know, they're the same guys that supported me and called me and just apologized. That they said, you know, I don't know if I ever said anything, but I'm sorry if I did, and I just hope you keep playing, and I just, you know, respect you so much as a person and as a player. So, you know, that has all been the same, and the support has all been the same. And even when I went back to my club at Leeds United last year, I had like a standing ovation. I was working with them on charity, and they were so supportive and amazing. So that all that stuff's been the same. But I would say, you know, just I don't know why, but it's just a little bit more intense in all aspects in Europe.
Were you surprised by that reaction you got?
Response? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was extremely surprised. I mean, I was surprised at the reaction I got from my family. I was surprised by the reaction and, like, the number of people that were supporting me when I came out publicly, which was, like, 4 months after I told my family. And then surprised at the reaction I got when I went back to playing soccer and the encouragement going back to play soccer. So, again, I had no intention of any of this. I was going to come out to my family and go back to school. I got a place at London College of Fashion, the menswear design technology course. I had my apartment. I was just starting to plan my life for life after soccer because I thought it wasn't going to be possible. So, I mean, all of this has really surprised me. And now hearing from people that have read the book and their reaction, again, you realize so many people around the world, and not just gay men and women, but just people that have dealt with some kind of coming out or have dealt with depression and isolation, have connected with what I've written and my experience. And there's so many people with stories that are very similar. So I guess it's been a huge educational process for me and for especially the close ones around me, because I just wasn't expecting any of this.
I guess the thing that kind of captured me throughout the book is I'm thinking, because you're in your mid-20s right now, and it seems like in playing in a place like Columbus, where to my understanding, you know, the fans seem very accepting. You see gay pride flags at games. They've had gay pride night. I just have a hard time wrapping my head around why, not that it's easy to come out, but why did it seem so hard for you to handle, to think about that?
So for me, it was more, you know, it didn't matter what anyone said to me, like, to support me. You know, it didn't matter if someone was like, oh, I have a gay friend and, you know, we're going to go hang out and I love him, he's such a cool guy. It didn't matter. You know, it was the amount of things and the most, and I can give you an example. I'd be in a locker room and I'd be on the bike, and guys would be discussing, you know, having like a conversation, not just saying like, oh, he's so gay. You'd be actually having a conversation about how could someone even be gay? How could someone go through the act of that? How could someone even love another man? So that was stuff I heard on a daily basis. So when you hear those kind of things, it makes it so extremely difficult for you to come out and then to stay in that atmosphere and to keep yourself in that atmosphere. You know, after I came out and told my agent I was going to stop, he's like, no, you just keep playing. You're such a great player and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you would be crazy. You'd be crazy to put yourself back into that environment. You know? So it wasn't until I heard from those same people and had that support and people, you know, to encourage me to go back. It wasn't until then that I thought, okay, I can do this.
25 years of living in fear because you were worried about your family, worried about your friends, and worried about being separated from soccer. And you, in your book, Coming Out to Play, you talk about that sick feeling in the stomach, and the more I read, the sicker I felt as well when you encountered these situations. Yeah. But when you had that epiphany and you came out, and the process of telling your sister first and then your mother really truly brought me to tears. It's hard to imagine. Well, it was easy to imagine the fear, But it's hard to imagine that relief you must have felt.
Oh, my gosh. Like the most amazing feeling ever. I wish I could like bottle up that feeling and just always keep it with me. It was and telling my sister and my mom, especially, and my other siblings as well, my dad. It was like it was just so freeing, and you just like you start from like ground zero, and you just feel like you're not hiding anything. And after living 25 years with obviously hiding something about yourself that is like you know pretty big part of your life, it's just you just can't explain the feeling. It's just so freeing, and just like you just feel. Like anything is possible in the world, and that you know you can do anything and work anything out. To be honest, so it's hard to explain, but it was such an amazing experience for me, and I feel bad for people that have some experiences that aren't similar.
Well, you talk about the 25 years of fear. You talk about the relief and the joy of having come out, still facing some challenges. Was it difficult writing this account and in your book, yeah. Coming out to play? I mean, was it difficult to relive some of that pain?
Extremely difficult to relive that stuff and to go through my childhood especially. But it was difficult because like, I'd just come out. I was back in soccer, expected to kind of, like, have answers for, you know, why aren't there any other gay athletes and what can we do to change things? And, you know, just to talk about my whole experience, I was doing all this while I was, obviously just back with the Galaxy and trying to get fit and trying to have a successful season and all the pressure of that. So then there was the pressure of writing the book and going to events and doing interviews. So it was extremely, extremely emotional. And the book, you know, brought up a lot of feelings that I had to deal with that I didn't quite deal with. You know, I learned a lot from it, and it's another thing I didn't expect to learn so much from the experience and to gain so much from the experience of writing a book. But yeah, I'm so blessed and happy that I was able to go through that. But it was really, really difficult to write a book, and I didn't think it was going to be that emotional.
Tagging all along to that, you know, you kind of say that you had to take a crash course in being gay, and talk about what it's meant, this whole change you had. You had this sort of transformative experience participating in a panel in Portland.
Yeah. And it's helped you. Yeah, you've gone on to the Beyond It campaign, fighting stereotypes.
Yeah, yeah.
This has really changed your life, Robbie.
Yeah. Oh, it's changed my life so much. I mean, I would say, like, you know, a few years before I came out, I was, like, homophobic towards myself. And I didn't want to accept that side of me. So it's changed my life so much. And then, you know, it's just opened my eyes up to, you know, people from, like, all walks of life. And I've just been able to have an open mind and to listen to people and to hear about people's experiences and their feelings and their thoughts. And so it's really changed the way that I view the world, to be honest. But, you know, I went to that event in Portland and spoke to kids, and I think Nike and Glisten were expecting me to be helping, you know, these younger kids. But I know it sounds cheesy, but they were really the ones that were like, you know, Robbie, we're going home tomorrow, and we've been doing this, this, and this. And, like, what kind of stuff can we do? And I was like, gosh, I wish I was like you guys when I was younger, or even like now. You guys have courage and so much confidence. And when I was younger, I was just afraid to even, like, you know, be different than anyone. So, you know, I've had to learn very quickly and to try to, you know, be more like these kids with obviously a much bigger platform because I'm an athlete that's, you know, our lives are kind of in the spotlight always. So it's tough, but, you know, I think, you know, I've done okay. I'm human, so I'm sure I'll make mistakes. But, you know, I know I've done okay just because I've heard back from so many kids that have been able to read about my story and been able to connect with it. And then the book obviously is out and people have really enjoyed it. So I'm, again, happy that I've been able to be used in this way.
You know, your faith, you talk about, it's a major theme in this book. You're raised Catholic. It's your religion's always been important to you. Where would you say you are now in your faith?
Yeah, I don't call myself a Catholic. I'm still a religious person. I believe there's a purpose and reason for all this and for me. And I feel like I was created this way, but I think a million people would want to argue with me that I, you know, can't believe in God and be gay. But, you know, my faith is my faith. My relationship with God is my relationship. And I, you know, don't really care what people think at this point. I just kind of follow my instinct with all that stuff, and I'm extremely happy, and I'm still a religious person, but I don't really like label myself as a Catholic or a Christian or Jewish or anything.
Thank you for your time, Robbie. Thank you for the incredible story and the inspiring book. Greatly appreciated.
Thanks so much. Well, thanks for having me on, guys.
Robbie Rogers, author of Coming Out to Play with Eric Marcus. You can learn more about the book at our website, wvxu.org. Robbie Rogers played for the Columbus Crew when they won the MLS Cup in 2008 and is currently a defender with the LA Galaxy, and they won the MLS Cup this year. Visit wvxu.org to learn more about Robbie, soccer, and the book Coming Out to Play. Thank you, Tana, for being here today, too.
Thanks for having me.
Tana Weingartner from WVXU. This is the Book Club at 91.7.